Hello and welcome to the World Dreamer Podcast, where we take popular stories and settings and turn them into tabletop RPGs. My name is Matt, and today we'll be diving into the world of Dungeons & Dragons. Here we are. Welcome to the episode. This is a very exciting episode, and we've got some familiar faces on here, so why doesn't everyone introduce themselves?
Michael.
Good. So now that we know who everyone is, let's dive into this.
Are you looking for a simple, effective magic weapon? Tired of running out of spell slots? Worry no more. Introducing rocks. Rocks are the perfect weapon, travel-sized and easily found on almost any terrain. Simply pester your DM if there are any pebbles lying around and imbue them with the magic stone cantrip. Soon, you'll have a deadly device they never saw coming. Dealing 1d6 of bludgeoning damage, plus your spellcasting modifier, they make knocking out foes a breeze. So, next time you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, choose rocks. Knock 'em out. Not suitable ages 5 and up.
Dungeons and Dragons thing. Now, I bet a lot of you have not heard of this, and frankly, I haven't either. So let's just dive in. Anyone got any suggestions?
I have had the most wonderful idea. So, I think magic, you shouldn't just be able to cast spells whenever you want. So you get these fun little things called spell slots. And that means that when you cast a powerful spell, can only do it a certain number of times per day. And each spell, it's ranked on a system of 0 to 9 based on the power level. So like, 0, you're shooting a small flame. You're creating a little fire. 9, you're stopping time. You're altering the fabric of reality. You can only do that once per day, you know, because there's anything that you should be able to do more than once a lifetime, it's alter the fabric of reality. But I think that this is the best idea.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Magic is cool. I remember magic from those Harry Potter people books by that transphobic lady.
Now, for an RPG based on Dungeons and Dragons, this one's a tough one. I think something that is really essential to me is a hit point system. I think that in order to really capture the Dungeons and Dragons feel, particularly enemies, like high-level enemies, would need just an absurd amount of hit points. Like, I want my players to be slogging through a swamp of hit points. Like, sponge like you wouldn't believe, damage sponges. Like, enough, like you would see in a sponge commercial, you know? Like, these are our competitors. These are our sponges. This is how much damage we take. We're not going to break. I want combat to last for hours, you understand?
Yeah. Make them real big, real hard to hit.
For converting Dungeons & Dragons to a tabletop RPG setting, there should be some form of initiative system for when it comes to the start of combat, just to determine the order everyone's going to be taking their actions in. And I think it should be determined by a stat in dice rolls, I'd most likely say. I don't know, you could probably figure it out on your own. But, well, the system should definitely start at the beginning of combat, and each player should roll a die, and highest number goes first. And I think that should make combat less of a hassle for organization.
Ooh, I think that could also spice up combat quite a bit. You know, make it kind of easier to figure.
Hey gang, you ever feel like every time you want to talk about your latest niche micro-celebrity's latest scandal, or your great-nephew's latest participation trophy, your friends, family, and co-workers talk over you? Well, do I got the solution for you. Introducing me, with a gun. It's literally a 5'2 trans mask with the gun telling everyone to shut the fuck up so you can finally detail your deepest heart's desires. Isn't that splendid?
Yeah, I was stuck in my car breaking down, and this really short guy just appeared out of nowhere. saying to shut up. So, I did.
As you should, otherwise you'd be losing a testicle. Me, with a gun, for only one installment of $1.99. Hey, I'm a cheap date.
You're out, you know?
I've been thinking about a possible system for calculating if attack rolls against monsters hit or not. I call it THECO, which is short for To Hit Armor Class Zero. This radical new technique, which I totally thought of myself, requires a few simple and not at all convoluted steps. First, you assign a number on the d20 for each monster and player character that will be used in the campaign, which is calculated from the character's level. This number is what the monster or character needs to hit an armor class of 0, on a scale of 10 being unarmored, and negative 10 being full adamantine plate with a shield in hand, aka THECO. Second, when a player or monster attacks, you subtract the target's armor class from the attacker's THECO. If the attacker rolls above this value, then they hit. If not, no dice. There are pre-made tables that can help with these calculations. To those saying it would be better to simply roll and add modifiers rather than subtract them, I say it's high time subtraction finally got to shine. Plus, who doesn't love looking at attack matrices every roll in combat? Come on.
Another fine addition to combat, and I definitely understood everything that you said.
Now, if I know Spencer, and I really don't, I think I know where he's coming from, and I completely agree.
Okay. Well, Nick, do you have any suggestions?
So, I know it's called, we're basing this off of Dungeons and Dragons, but and Dragons obviously is what you believe to be the most iconic monster in the series, but like no. I think, well, have you ever heard of a meatball? Well, slap some eye stalks on that and make it shoot laser beams, and you know that is what we should have as the most iconic creature in this system. I think bringing that to the forefront is the best thing that we could do. It's called the Beholder, by the way. So I don't have the reference image, but we take this meatball, this delectable meatball, and make that an enemy that is so overpowered that it pretty much kills everything that it comes across, but like, eventually the party members will get a little overpowered, you know? We're not expert craftsmen here. We can't make a unflawed system, you know? And then they can kill this giant meatball.
Well, that certainly sounds like a weird thing. Yeah.
I got a sick idea for this D&D thing. We should have it so if anybody rolls a 20, they get to do anything. So if you go up to Nanny Margaret, the Immaculate Virgin, and say, hey, yo, let's bang, and roll nat 20, she'll be like, oh, okay, and they'll go into the next room and bang. And then we should make feats. So, like, after this incredible thing, you get advantage and get to roll twice and take the highest value on banging grandmas for the rest of the game. I think that's a pretty good idea. I don't know.
All right, not sure how much we should fuck old people, unless you're into that. You know, I...
Has this ever happened to you? You're minding your own business, taking a shower. You look down and realize the drain is clogged. Whoa! So you call your plumber to see if they'll take a look at it. The only problem? Your plumber is having an emotional breakdown, and they ask to marry you. Now you're stuck with two problems, your drain and an emotionally draining relationship. Oh, God. Get it? Introducing Drainlationship, the only chemical compound known to unclog the toughest drain blockages and make someone fall out of love with you. Now you can get back to those relaxing showers you love without your plumber begging you for one more chance. Break their heart without all the work, Drainlationship. What are you waiting for? Buy it. Why wouldn't you buy it now? What are you, stupid or something? One click away or down the street. Make the purchase. Make it. Buy our product, you dumb piece of sh-
I ain't here to judge. I ain't here to judge.
Additionally, if I were to design a tabletop based on Dungeons & Dragons, I would want minimal rules for actually exploring dungeons. You know, I feel as if we spend too long on the exploration pillar. You know, I feel like we see too many rules for exploration that make it really interesting and engaging. I think that ultimately, we would need bare minimum exploration rules so that we can funnel players towards the next combat encounter as quickly as possible, is really what I would be going for.
Yes, and that totally adds to what Raymond said.
No, it doesn't. What?
I also feel like it wouldn't be a tabletop RPG based on Dungeons & Dragons if we didn't rip monsters straight from Tolkien's mythos and rename them. Like, think about all the epic, like, the Balrog, right? Of course, we can't actually say Balrog. So, Balor, sure. Or, you know, the Hobbits. Hobbits are cute, right? I'd love to play as a Hobbit. I'd love to, yeah, you know, but we can't use the name, so we'd have to say Halfling. Yeah, stuff like that, you know. Rather than play the One Ring, second edition, which I've heard good things about, I think I would rather put Tolkien monsters in this tabletop based on Dungeons and Dragons and just rename them entirely.
Are you guys even listening to me? What is going on here?
Yeah, so I was digging through the rules and I was thinking, like, how do you make an encounter system, you know? And I thought, oh, no, that's a great idea. It's called challenge rating. It's very challenging to rate what kind of levels you're doing. It confuses the DM, and honestly, it makes it harder to game completely because the encounters are going to be so wacky and they won't make sense.
I asked you a direct question. Respond to me.
Goodbye.
What do you mean goodbye?
I also lovely. Feel like
yo,
it
what's up,
fuckers
going on?
April Fools, thank you for listening to the episode. If you enjoyed it, that's cool. Stay tuned for a real episode tomorrow.